The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Heather. There's no honorific for Heather. It's just, you know.
It is what it is.
Have you ever had like a Heather-based nickname?
What
or
do you mean?
Is there
Heath?
Heath or H
no.
or
no.
Leather? Like anything like that?
No.
Oh.
No, Dave Chow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so just Heather. Got it.
No, just Heather. But, you know, I sign off sometimes as HHV.
HHV. That is classic.
We're big on communicating with initials around here.
Got it.
Everything's alphabet soup.
That's right.
Everything.
Lots of initials that we can sort of throw around at each other, Dave.
Absolutely. DC?
Disconnected.
We're going to continue around the table with Professor Kendra Evans, who specifically told me not to introduce her.
I did. It was very specific instructions, but in case you did, I did move my mic closer.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you here, whether you're sorting papers or anything.
Thank you. Thank you. My students will be glad to know that I'm sorting papers right now.
You have a lot of students in that lecture this semester. Nearly 100.
I know. I agree. That is a lot.
That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to grading.
That's correct. And entering grades and sorting their papers.
Yeah, it's entering weird. Grades.
We don't think about how long that part takes, and it's long. It's much longer to do like 100 than 25 times.
I totally agree for some reason.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some way to quantitate that.
Yes.
So may I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I had to wait for the affirmation there. But when you're sorting them, how are you sorting them?
Gryffindor,
well,
Slytherin.
So section by section, test booklet, test form by test form. So because when you have that many, you mix them all up and give them different tests. And then after that, then you put them in the right section in alphabetical order.
All right. Thank you.
It is a way of knowing, someone told me once.
A way of knowing Professor Dan Maggio is to see him walking around in his first windbreaker.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
That is a way to know him.
It felt warm enough outside to wear just a windbreaker today.
Even though there is great wind.
Which is
you
not.
Are crazy.
Right.
Because
that
it
was
is
actually
so cold today.
Not correct.
It is very, very cold. But I saw you in it and you look very sharp.
Thank you.
Even I think it's cold.
Yeah.
It's, which means it's actually cold.
Sharp as a tack.
Negative 40.
That's right.
That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see you, Dan. You're gearing up for competition season.
We are gearing up. I will be going to Delaware in a few weeks to cheer them on, and that will be the end of my travels for this upcoming month or so.
Okay,
all right. We're wrapping up at about mid-March, and then we'll be in Detroit for championship.
Yep, of course. So. The big championship this summer is in the Motor City for First LEGO Robotics. A man who knows how to draw lots and lots of different things is Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always. So, I've drawn just a few things this week.
Just this week?
Just this week.
Some interesting things.
I've been wondering when I'm going to get a new Zombie Beth calendar.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear Lord, you want the full calendar again, don't you?
I'll have to do the half year, maybe, or the three-quarter year or something.
That'll work. Just, yeah, do an academic calendar.
Can't I just
calendar,
do like a centerfold or something like that and be done with? Tastefully.
But no one would want to look at it.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Thank you.
I think there are certain subcultures out there that would probably enjoy that. So
these zombie subcultures.
The 1-900 line will be set up just in case.
1-900.
I've already told Heather we need her in the zombie apocalypse because she can grow food.
Oh, yeah. That's
so she would be very handy to have around.
That's right. We promise not to eat your annual or perennial flowers, but...
we'll eat the deer that come.
Some of them you can eat.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
All right, hibiscus, right? Mm-hmm. All the way around the table and at the pink folder, it's Professor Beth Oljar from the Department of Philosophy.
Good to be here.
Good to have you back. We know you were taking on some outpatient surgery of late.
Oh, yes.
And your hand looks like it is healing.
Yeah, still got kind of an ugly bruise, but...
That's
it's
all right.
Getting better.
Yep. Make a fist. Get ready.
Hey, wait. Careful now.
Pound some stuff.
Close.
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
The numbing medication took longer than the actual surgery did.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about 2019 to me.
Yep. Dave Kokel gave me a ride, and he's like, "We're going to be here for 2 hours. I brought a book," and I'm like, "No, it's going to take about 20 minutes. We'll spend more time on the road than we will." So.
especially in the middle of all of that weather we had last week.
Plus, so my hand doctor's French.
Well,
Jean-Paul.
Like, really from France?
My guess is he's Canadian, but...
Okay, okay.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah,
we're like locusts.
Excellent.
We're like locusts.
So
we have a special guest panelist with us here
You're
today.
You're like Americans,
for the first time
nice.
Of what could be many times, it's Professor Mara Livesey from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello, good to be here.
We're glad to have you here. So what we do on this show is we goof on a bunch of questions and have fun. Friday afternoons at 3:30 to blow off steam. This is the end of week 5, I'd just like to point out, of 15 weeks. We're very glad to have you here, Mara.
Good to be here.
So she says now.
Yeah.
We will see.
Yeah, we will.
You sounded a bit hesitant, which I think is wise.
Yes.
Point.
Very, very wise. We will not tell you any stories of other guest panelists we've had on the show that take the show so seriously they're afraid to return because they don't know the answers. That is the exact opposite of what we do here.
Right, okay.
As a matter of fact, I believe there's a paragraph I read every week so that we can know what the show is about. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can find us on Facebook, like many other things, but mostly for older generations. And I understand, as has been added to the show in 2019, that if you have a smart speaker at home, that you can say, play the latest episode of Ask the Professor, and it will start playing.
Woo!
And it's kind of freaky when you do that.
I tried it out.
And hear your own voice.
And?
It worked. But I will say, at first, I asked her to play it, and she said, I don't know about that. So I repeated, and at the end I said, radio show, to be very clear. And it played.
This
and
is Alexa? Played.
That's right.
Or Google, or Apple, or anything. Other... Yeah, they'll do it. They'll do it.
That doesn't creep anybody else out. This this idea of asking
out.
A disembodied voice to do a lot of things just strikes
me as kind of
creepy.
Wait a minute, that's what I would do with Michael Jason in the other room. I mean,
what's more creepy is because it can recognize when you say Alexa or OK Google means that it's listening to you all the time.
That's right.
Yep.
And if it's listening to you all the time, is somebody listening to me or is it just the program in the cloud running or is it recording me?
We have no more
Is
privacy.
The government listening in?
I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
They're not going to be like Transformers, them. Matt. Is that what you're...
It's going to be more like Skynet.
I know you like to see things get blown up, but...
I do. But, no, we have a Google Assistant at home, and frankly, I'm aware of all the concerns, but it is extremely entertaining to have your 6-year-old son interact with it for an extended period of time.
Oh,
and
I'm
sorry
sure.
I don't have video to show you because it's pretty
not
funny.
Yet, at least.
It's pretty funny.
But there's no privacy left anymore.
No.
I mean, does anybody really think anything is private?
The classic thing was the experiment done. It would have been a Mythbusters if they had the chance, right? But the guys went on the internet. And they got a phone, and they broke the phone, so they got it away from whatever system they had purchased it from. And then they turned off data tracking and position tracking on the phone, just to use it as a phone. And as the video shows on YouTube, the second they turned that back on, all the accrued data was immediately uploaded to the cloud. So you can't even stop it when you try to stop it. Like, if you've got a phone, it's over.
That's what 4 pillows are good for.
There you go. Exactly.
So if you commit a crime, leave your phone at home?
Yes.
I think that's
or
good
no,
advice.
I'm bringing Heather's phone with me.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, sure you are.
It's 2019. Dial M for murderousness.
I'm teaching young adult dystopian fiction in the fall.
That's right.
How do you know
no,
that?
No, you mentioned it to us.
I
and
did?
So you're gonna, yeah.
We asked Google, what is Heather Hale Vasquez teaching in the fall?
But I'm assuming there's going to be some recent classics on the reading
some of
list.
That, yeah.
Some Hunger Games.
Probably Hunger Games, yeah.
It's really just Shirley Jackson, isn't it? It's the lottery.
Yes,
the lottery.
A lot of times I start with a lottery.
That's a
good
story.
You can do Fahrenheit 451.
Can I ask
it's
you a
pleasure
question?
Pleasure to burn.
Heather.
What?
Do you enjoy those stories? I find no enjoyment in watching movies. Of that genre.
I know this sounds...
There's nothing positive about them,
I think,
to me.
I think I know this sounds cliched, but I think I have sort of a love-hate relationship with them. I don't know.
That makes sense. I can
You know,
see that.
I mean, I think part of what I like to do with them is try to find the humanity where it emerges in those books, right?
Like Katniss protecting her sister.
Like Katniss protecting her sister, or... And I do think that the books sometimes have been corrupted or by the films, because when you actually look at them as texts, some of them are actually worth looking at. Yeah. Some of them aren't. Some of them are trash. For sure. For sure.
I'm glad you dropped that in at the end, because things got really heavy there for a couple seconds. Oh, okay. This is the real deal.
Okay. I guess I'm ready for my class.
You're getting ready for the class, yeah.
I've taught it before, but I'm going to rethink it.
There's even a whole bunch of other stuff being committed to movies soon. I saw, even though I've only read really the first book, the Artemis Fowl series is about mm-hmm. to become a series of movies. And mm-hmm. you've got your Percy Jackson. And
it's hard to keep up.
Those are not bad. I've not seen bad. Those. Percy Jackson bad. And the Olympians. And
yep.
It's hard to keep up.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it is. All right. We would love to have an entire podcast / radio show / whatever we do here just for us conversing, but we have some questions we're going to need to take. So, dear ATP panelists, it's been nearly 9 months since I last penned some questions for the show. I'm always honored and tickled pink when I hear that my questions have been used. It's my 15 minutes of radio podcast immortality. Below are 20 questions on all sorts of things I think could stump the panelists, and even if I can't, it's all brand new knowledge to me when I was doing the research. Please enjoy the questions as much as I enjoy your weekly half hour of trivia knowledge. With deep appreciation, Amber Hubley, writing under her name, pronounced Hubley. I had forgotten, and I think I said Hubley last time, Amber, so I'm glad you corrected me.
I like these potpourri
Thanks, Amber.
Kinds of questions.
Yeah. It's very complimentary. Stuff.
Very nice. Yeah.
9 months? Mm-hmm. Slacker.
Jeez, please don't anger the listeners.
Yes.
This is probably why we're low on questions, because Dave keeps insulting them.
I'm doing the good cop. He's doing the bad cop.
Hey, why are we getting boxed with white powder in them all of a sudden sent to us?
Oh, my
Lord. All right,
Lord.
Question number one
from Amber Hubley. Who is Sherilyn Sarkeesian?
Cher.
That's Cher, yes.
Wow.
That abbreviated name makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense.
Not like Leather and Heather.
Not at all like Leather and Heather. Not at all. What 7 U.S. states have there are many, Mount Olympus in them?
Washington.
Washington is one
For
of
sure.
them.
For sure.
Oregon.
Oregon is not one of them.
California.
California actually has two, one Colorado. In the north and one in the south.
Should we inform Mara there's a map behind her that, in case you wonder why we can rattle off something?
Actually, Washington has the Olympic Mountains.
That's true. Yep. 7 states, and all you've given me so far the correct
Kentucky,
is Washington.
New York, someplace in the east.
Kentucky for sure.
Okay. New Hampshire.
No, I have California, Kentucky, Washington.
North Carolina.
Nope.
Colorado.
Colorado is one of them.
Rocks. Minnesota. Yeah.
We got the Rockies.
Nope.
We got the Catskills. We got
Montana.
Hawaii.
Nope. Hawaii is one of them.
Oh, Hawaii, of course.
You told me New Hampshire, but you didn't say...
Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the last one is where the last American Winter Olympics was held.
Utah.
So now you've got them all. California, Colorado, Hawaii, Kentucky, Vermont, Washington, Utah... And California has 2 Mount Olympi inside its borders. And while we think about that, we'll take a break. And we are back. Some great questions so far from Amber Hubley. Let's see how many more of these we can finish off. There are 3 national capital cities closest to Mount Everest. What are they? Maybe think about the countries first.
Kathmandu
is one of them, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done.
Beijing? Beijing's too far away.
It's a little too far away.
Pakistan?
Nope.
We don't have a map.
We can look at the American map.
We don't have a map.
Is it Columbus?
Sacramento just doesn't cut it.
It's below.
I mean, I can give you hints that involve the countries, because then maybe you'll
Bhutan?
Be able to...
Bhutan
is one of them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so Bhutan. What's the capital of Bhutan?
Bhutan City.
Bhutanania.
Bhutanicus.
Actually, it's as if you had maybe some recent dental work and you were trying to say the name of the little metal cap you put on your finger when you're sewing.
Thimbu Bhutan.
And last but not least, what? The country's flag is a green field with a single red dot in the middle of it.
Oh, why?
It's
always colored.
Is it
Christmas Island?
No.
Sorry, it's green and red.
I'm thinking that Everest is a little landlocked for an island. Yeah.
Sorry, Heather.
Nepal, Bhutan, and
starts with the letter B. Is the country the letter B? Wow, this is tough. So it's Bangladesh.
Oh.
And the capital is Dhaka. Dhaka is the capital of Bangladesh.
Christmas Island would have been better.
I agree.
Yeah, there was a civil war once in Bangladesh, and one of the results was that all of the philosophy faculty at the University of Dhaka were shot.
Oh, jeez.
Well, sure. Who's going to be a threat?
The thinkers, dang it.
And the political cartoonist.
These people who say, gee, maybe you don't have an obligation to obey the state. Yeah, you want to get rid of them pretty
probably,
quickly.
Probably, yeah. What was the last studio album released by the Beatles?
Let It Be.
Let It Be. I always look over to Beth, who knows a lot about the Beatles.
They are the greatest band ever.
Mm-hmm. What has been the most successful stop-motion animation full-length running feature? And you're going to probably at some point say Nightmare Before Christmas, which warms my heart, but that's not actually it. Just based on box office, made by a very, very famous British animation
house. Wallace and Gromit?
Not Wallace and Gromit. It was a feature.
Chicken Little?
Chicken Run.
Yeah, Chicken Run. You got it. Which was a very entertaining movie. And now they, Laika has a sort of that style coming out soon with the, what is it? He's a Yeti. In a few weeks. It looks really, really cute. Something to take the kids to. They call him the Missing Link, Mr. Link. What U.S. state is the Sunflower State?
Kansas.
It is Kansas.
All right, Kendra.
Kendra, right out of right field. Yeah. Now, how do you know that?
I've driven from Kentucky to Colorado before. There are a lot of sunflowers.
Yeah, there are.
It's a well-deserved nickname.
Okay, yeah.
So what are we, the Dandelion State then?
Yeah, what's our flower?
The apple blossom in Michigan.
Oh, that's not bad. That's a good one, actually.
Actually, I think it's shared with Washington, if I remember correctly. We have the state
makes sense.
Flower. Can you believe it?
I don't know what the state flower of Washington is. So.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask
What
Google.
About Oregon? Is it the is it rose? No. Lilac? No.
Should be roses.
I think it might
the
be
Rose
roses.
City, so.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
why.
How many rose cities are there, though? I mean,
I don't know. Why don't you submit that question to... Ask the professor.
What constellation is represented by the shape of a whale?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Not Polaris. That's not a constellation. It's just a star.
Just
right?
a star.
A whale.
A Aquarius?
No, Aquarius is the water bearer. This is the whale.
It was the closest I could come. Well, Pisces? I mean, I'm kind of in the water direction.
It's not a zodiac sign.
I don't think it is a zodiac.
Is it from Greek mythology?
Sort of. Capital C is the first letter.
What, like cetaceans?
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's it. Cetus is Latin for a whale.
Sorry, Star Trek 2. I'm thinking Spock.
Oh, yeah, nicely done. It's always good to work in a Star Trek reference.
Mind you, Dan and I, we only have one brainstem between the both of us.
Oh my gosh. Star Trek 2
is a great movie.
It's a very, very good movie.
Yes.
Probably
two?
One of
Well, the whale is not too...
Oh, Star Trek 4 is with the whales.
Four.
Oh, it's four, right. Four. You're right, I'm sorry.
They all
even, only the even ones are good.
The even numbers are good and the odd numbers are
bad.
Yeah.
Three was Search for Spock.
Oh, that was with John Larroquette and Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. That's right, as the Klingons.
Yes.
And what do you think about the upcoming live-action Picard After He Retires series?
Ten episodes?
Are we excited or what?
Should be good.
I haven't watched the first one.
I've watched them. They're good.
Right,
I'm expecting.
Right. Yeah. What does the Mohs scale measure? Mohs. M-O-H-S.
How many dope slaps Mo Howard can hit people? Or Mohs?
It's not.
It's sound?
Is it sound?
It's not sound. It's often used by jewelers.
Carrots?
Jewelers. Not carrots.
How much can you
Brilliance?
Afford?
Brilliance?
Facets.
Not facets.
Markup?
No.
Hardness?
Markup.
How much can you afford?
Purity?
Shine?
Not purity, but getting closer.
Is it one of the C's?
It is. No, clarity? It's not one of the five C's of buying a diamond. No, it's not.
I have no idea.
Okay, what would Jared do right about now? see.
Well, diamond is often said to be the blankest material on Earth.
Hardest.
Yeah, so yeah. it's a measure of hardness.
I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't that I say that?
Did
that
you say hardness?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely said hardness.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Play the tape back.
Okay. All right. How many times does this have to happen before I'm going to smack you?
Everybody's talking at the same time.
Yeah, but you hear other people. Again, I think it's a gender issue. Let's move on.
Say something like that. Nope.
Actually, I think it's because I'm hard of hearing in my right ear, so maybe
we could always play back the tape.
I slapped it. No.
Please.
So we should switch places and see if it still happens.
Yeah, it happens no matter where I sit.
I gotta get you a ZZ Top beard or something like that. It might amplify you.
So Heather got it right. It's the hardness of minerals. Who sang the theme song for James Bond's For Your Eyes Only?
Sheena Easton.
Is correct. Yeah. What year was that? 1980-something.
Yeah,
85, 86.
That was the Greek?
The Greek ship.
Yep, that was the one with the Greek.
That was a good one.
Carolyn Bouquet as the Bond girl?
Yeah, and then she got the contract to be the Chanel model, I think. So
the Chanel?
Sheena Easton.
Yeah.
No.
Carol McKay, not Sheena Easton.
I don't know. I was only about 5 years old at that time. So
I was only acting like I was 5 years old then, so...
What is the second most populous city in the state of Iowa?
Oh, my God.
Ames.
It isn't. It is not
Des Moines.
Ames.
Des Moines.
Des Moines is the most populous.
Iowa City.
It's not Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids.
How many cities are there?
There's a city area called Quad Cities, so that's already four to start.
Well, that's on the border.
What's the answer?
Cedar Rapids.
Oh, okay.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
See, you hear it.
Oh, see, if Professor Avocet was here. He could have answered that straight away.
Why is he?
He spent time in Iowa, didn't he?
I think he was there for a little while.
On purpose?
I think he selected an institution of higher education there.
I believe he may have been there for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
The Quad Cities is where Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois all meet. There's four really big cities there.
Yeah. Sure.
Four. So, quad.
Syncope is the medical term for what?
Heartbeats.
Mm-mm.
Syncope?
Syncope.
It's the offbeat in music.
Yes.
If
nice one.
If Jim Tubbs were here, he probably would talk about the vapors.
Oh.
He would do his genteel southern voice and speak about the vapors.
The vapors.
Fainting?
Fainting is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I have the vapors. I don't sound like Jim, but
no.
That was pretty good.
Nobody sounds like Jim.
I thought that was pretty good.
No, I got to record that and have that for my ringtone for him.
What?
The vapors?
So if the phone rings, I want to hear Jim's voice saying, I have the vapors. That way I know it's him. That's all.
That's cool.
If you win on Ask the Professor, you get Jim Tubbs' voice on your home answering machine.
Not Carl Castle, right?
Carl Castle. No. The title of what band's debut album was Ring Ring?
Ring Ring.
Ring Ring.
From the 80s.
Is it an 80s
So further back.
Group.
70s.
Duo.
70s.
Ring Ring.
It was a group. It was not a duo. Ring Ring.
That's a good start.
Yes.
American?
American, no.
The Monkees.
Rolling
if I remember
Stone.
Correctly, UK? It was Swedish.
Swedish.
ABBA.
It was ABBA.
Swedish kind of gives it away.
Really, I don't even
remember. It's not Roxette?
I don't even know that.
It could have been Roxette. No, it was not Roxette. So now we need to go back
like
and check
ABBA.
Out.
I do, too.
I know it's like sort of a source
of I can't. I was only 5.
That's right.
Why does that bar you from liking ABBA?
I don't know.
She's not supposed to remember them.
It's great work music.
Yeah.
It really is.
If you're aware of ABBA, you were like listening to AM radio in the 70s. So.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Same with, I told Dave.
In the womb.
I told Dave Coco once, well, I was listening to America a lot this week. And he's like, you mean the guys who do Horse with No Name? I'm like, yeah, they actually.
Not like metaphorically
sorry,
listening
to
America.
I'm a child of AM radio in the 70s. Deal with it.
I don't think that's a problem. Those are good songs.
Yeah.
What country would you hit? If you were to leave New York City and go directly east.
What country?
What country do you hit?
Portugal?
Canada.
It's Portugal is what it says. Directly.
Hey, I'm going north. I'm going to Portugal in July.
Where are you going in Portugal?
Lisbon.
Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
For
a conference.
Oh, wow. I was about to say for fun or for business?
Giving a paper at a MLA International Conference.
Are you giving the paper in English or Portuguese?
Ha, ha, ha.
You need a porter?
It's reasonable.
You need a porter.
English.
Yeah, I'm good with bags.
Someone to carry your bags?
Oh yes, but can you speak Portuguese?
I can look it.
I cannot speak Portuguese.
But I can bring a friend who can. Does that count?
Sure.
Do you need two assistants?
I don't know. Al Fresco's coming with me.
Al Fresco? And what's the conference, do you mind us asking?
It's a Modern Language Association International Conference.
Cool. Very cool. Well, my guess is you're going to go east from where you are right now, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit north, and then you'll be all set. One member of the Three Stooges, the pantheon of Stooges, not the original three, was actually not Jewish.
Which one?
Which one was it?
Dave.
Hold on. Joe DiRita.
Joe DiRita was not Jewish. And Dave just had to go through the file of facts in his mind.
Faster than I thought it was going to take you. Well,
okay, I knew it wasn't any of the Howard brothers, so I knew that. I knew it wasn't Larry, so it was between Joe Besser and Joe DiRita.
There you go. Curly Joe.
Fan?
Oh, my gosh.
Or follower. I don't dislike them.
Right. Same. Likewise.
In what year did U.S. Congress get its first female member, and from what state was she?
The 30s?
It was not the 30s. It was before that.
The 20s?
It was before the 20s.
Oh.
The teens.
It was the teens.
Hey.
Oh. Well,
elected to Congress before we had the right to vote. Yeah. Let's just pause and think about that.
So would this be like Wyoming?
You're close.
Nebraska?
Nope.
Montana.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Jeanette Rankin of Montana, 1916.
Do you know what her other claim to fame is?
I have to know
Jeanette
this.
Jeanette Rankin?
She's a philosopher?
No.
That was a good guess.
She was the one and only vote against declaring war on the Japanese after Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
She was
the
one person who voted.
Wow.
That's right.
So she was still there 30 years later.
Wow. Montana only has one representative in the House, I think, because nobody lives there.
Right,
so.
Nobody lives there. That's
but when she gave her dissenting vote, did everybody hear her?
Well, it was recorded for posterity.
Wow.
So.
I'm being too subtle. Never mind.
No. Was she wearing white?
That's the question.
I don't know.
That's the question. In which U.S. city was the film debut of Gone with the Wind?
Atlanta,
followed by what U.S. city was the second debut of Gone with the Wind?
New York City?
No.
Savannah, Georgia? Somewhere in Georgia.
No.
Los Angeles?
It's out of the ordinary, but it's cool. There's no easy way for me to give a clue and tell you that it's the city in which we all currently reside at this moment. It was Detroit. Detroit.
I was going to say that too.
Kind of cool.
And now what theater? Now I'm curious.
Like that Fox is a good question. Yeah, probably the Fox, right?
The 30s.
How about we do one more of these while the seconds tick away for the end of the show? Who is the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice? Once with a group, once as a solo artist.
Stevie Nicks.
You guys know this off the top of your
head. Love Stevie.
That's incredible. That is absolutely
She's a good friend of mine.
Incredible.
Stevie Nicks.
I'm afraid that our time is gone for this show, so it's time for the panel to say goodbye. Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Kendra.
Bye.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.